This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of March 12th, 2023. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 281. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. The Is It Just Me commentary and the Big Deal feature. Justin Trudeau's China crisis continues. Last week, he announced he would find a special rapporteur to investigate allegations of foreign interference in Canada's 2019 and 2021 elections. And two National Security Advisory Committees will do their own probes behind closed doors. But is that enough? Fenella Sung of the Canadian Friends of Hong Kong joins me to answer that question and more. But first, is it just me? Is it just me, or is something rotten in Burnaby, BC? Martin Kandel thinks he has an idea what it is. He is not your typical political candidate. When Kandel ran for Burnaby City Council last year, he picked up more than 1,600 pounds of garbage under his Clean Up Burnaby campaign. Now he's setting his sights on a controversial reverse referendum. Burnaby City Council wants to remove 21 acres from a park to build an organics waste recycling plant. I talked to Martin about this proposal and what he is doing about it.
So in 2019, the city of Burnaby decided that they wanted to create a green organic waste facility in Burnaby. Over the past couple of years, they have now decided that they want to put it in Fraser Foreshore Park in 21 acres of estuary land. The group I am involved with, we are not against the grow facility. We're against the location based on the fact that it is an estuary that is active for a ton of creatures along the Fraser River in Burnaby there.
Tell me how this process works.
What they're doing is called an alternative approval process, or an AAP. And it's, as you said, it's like a reverse referendum. Instead of, you know, putting this on the ballot back in 2022, when they probably should have, when they were having a municipal election, they are going and putting the onus on citizens in this community to go and get 16,250 negative votes or nay votes from Burnaby voters. It's completely backwards. It is not what the AEP is meant to do, according to Elections BC. This is supposed to be for really simple things like redrawing boundaries or for rezoning. When it comes to, you know, taking a park and decommissioning it and then basically taking the land they want out of it and then recommissioning it, it's not supposed to be an AAP. It's supposed to be a proper referendum. And city council's trying to be a little sneaky, a little devious about this. But there are a lot of people here in Burnaby who are against it, and we are going to be fighting really hard over the next 7 weeks to get those 16,250 votes.
And tell me, how can people get in touch with your organization, and where can they find out more about this whole process?
To get involved, you can email myself personally at nogroburnaby@gmail.com. We're also just going to be around the community like crazy for the next 6 to 7 weeks. You'll see us at your grocery stores, at your parks, at your coffee shops, all that kind of stuff. If you see us, we have the AAP forms kindly printed by the city of Burnaby. We will gladly give you one and a self-addressed envelope to send it back to them by April 28th. We will be having a rally at Fraser Foreshore Park on Sunday, March 19th at 12 o'clock. If you are a Burnaby resident or from anywhere else in the lower mainland and you don't want this jewel to be destroyed by this GRO facility, come on out and let's show them that, you know, city of Burnaby, that we mean business and that we're not going to let this happen.
That was Martin Kandel. Clean Up Burnaby. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast.
What did you know about Chinese government funding of election candidates, and when did you know it, and what did you do about it then?
One of the reasons that we are putting in place a special rapporteur on top of the work and the full access that NSICOP and NCERA have, the members, the conservative, Liberal and NDP and senators, members of the National Security and Intelligence Committee of Parliamentarians, will have access and have access to all top secret documents, all briefings that might have been made or could have been made or were not made from CSIS to parliamentarians. The process around this.
It continues to be the biggest political scandal in Canada of 2023 so far. Leaked reports from Canada's spy agency about communist China's interference in the 2019 and 2021 elections. China wanted to keep Justin Trudeau's Liberals in power and block the Conservatives from getting back into power. Conservative, NDP, and Bloc Québécois politicians are demanding a public inquiry. The Liberals went into damage control. After denying and deflecting, the Prime Minister tried to put a lid on it on March the 6th. He said he would appoint a special rapporteur, an eminent Canadian, to investigate. He also asked the National Security and Intelligence Committee of Parliamentarians and the National Security and Intelligence Review Agency to conduct their own probes, mostly behind closed doors.
He's blocking a public inquiry which would compel him to give answers. His members are blocking an investigation here at Parliament. He won't answer questions on the floor of the House of Commons. He's even got a bill that would allow him to censor the internet. It's almost as if he admires the basic Chinese communist dictatorship.
We're clearly seeing once again that the leader of the opposition is simply not serious in his approach in reassuring Canadians about institutions, about our democracy, about the integrity of our elections.
Welcome back to the Breaker.News podcast. My guest, Fenella Sung of the Canadian Friends of Hong Kong, human rights activist. Human rights advocate Fenella Sung is a Vancouver translator who was a reporter in the 1980s with RTHK in Hong Kong. Fenella, what is your initial reaction to the announcement on March 6th of what Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is deciding to do?
I think my initial reaction is that it's not going anywhere. And also we're not going to see anything happening anytime soon. Because first of all, as what you said, the Prime Minister referred the whole case as well as the decision whether to have a public inquiry to a third party. Like, first of all, he referred the investigation of the operation to the two committees. But actually, I think the whole problem with his way of dealing this situation is that it's very government-centric and also it's very inward-looking in a way that they are just trying to look at what they are doing, what they have been doing, like in terms of intelligence gathering, in terms of whether anything adequate or not adequate has been doing or has been undertaken to address the foreign interference. But nothing at all, first of all, to include the political parties and their operations, because that's one key thing out of the allegations from the CSIS leaked report, that things are happening right at the grassroots level, at the writings level, about the candidate nomination process, at nomination meetings, and as well as political donations, how they change, how the money has been changing hands, who donated what, and how to get refund through legitimate means, and that's where the foreign powers are involved, or the alleged the Chinese Communist Party people are involved, or their proxies. So I don't think the two committees will have the mandate. I hope not, that's not the case, but I don't see anything about the reference to the political parties as to look at the nomination process, look at how the campaigns were run. I didn't see anything covering that. And the two committees, if they just kind of look at, okay, what CSIS has been doing, what LCMP have been doing, what parliaments have been doing, all government arms and government departments, all the government looking at themselves. So, but right now, the infiltration we see is at the community level, at the ridings level, at the political parties level. And there's some point saying that, like, maybe even before the 2015 election, some private foundations were involved, because by donating into the private foundations, some families may get benefits, and that one of the members of their family may become the next elected prime minister or those kind of things. So it's all those kind of intricate relationships that we are talking about. Just referring these to this kind of situation to the two committees, I doubt anything that will come out or we will see any light at the tunnel of it. Maybe at the end, after lengthy discussion, after many witnesses appearing, then at the end, it will just be another report like the one that we just saw. Oh, we don't recommend anything because there's no smoking gun there. I think it's very likely the case, but I hope I would be wrong. The other thing about the special rapporteur, it's just deferring the decision whether or not to have a public inquiry to the third person. I just don't understand it with the public outcry, with the concern that Canadians have expressed so far. Is that not enough to make a decision? I'm not saying that you have to have it because we talk about it. What I'm saying is that you listen to Canadians, because obviously Canadians want to get involved, want to have a national debate or a national conversation about this whole issue, about how the foreign interference have been infiltrated into all walks of life in Canadian life. And then you refer it to one special rapporteur for this person to make a decision or to look into it. So I doubt anything will come out before the next election, but that's exactly the situation we don't want to see. We've already got doubts about the 2019 and the 2021 election, not about the result, but about the process, about whether any interference has affected or compromised our democracy, right? The last thing you want is for to have Canadians to go to the polls for before the election next term and have this doubt in mind, whether should I cast this vote because if my democracy has been compromised. That's the last thing you want to see.
The other aspect that Justin Trudeau announced on March 6th was to launch public consultations later this week about the creation of a foreign influence transparency registry in Canada. But instead, he's launching this process to talk about it more. No real deadline for it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, because having a consultation, it can be 3 months, it can be 6 months, or it can be 3 years. And also to bear in mind that the referral of that kind of idea actually floated out from the Prime Minister last December. 3 months have passed without any words or any talks about consultation or about any move. Then suddenly the consultation can be started this week, as soon as this week. You know, had we had the consultation launch right away after the announcement last December, we would already have 3 months of consultation. And then right now we would have see the end of the consultation, and then we would see at least the draft of the registry coming out or whatever kind of thing. But you are very right. Since some groundwork has been done, even if you don't take the draft of the opposition party, you can say, like, you know, here is a model. Look at the Australian model. Look at the United States model. Here is a model from among ourselves, from one parliamentarians. So let's combine all these drafts together and see what kind of model we can work on and use that as the consultation basis. We are now, they talk about setting it up this within this week, but how to get that? Maybe, you know, they will have to set up a committee and say, we have to strike the terms of reference of the consultation, and that would take another 6 months. So I don't see anything that will come out before the election. Maybe I'm too pessimistic, but I hope that I'm wrong.
One of the other storylines within this whole scandal involves Han Dong, who's a Toronto area Liberal MP. Han Dong actually came to Vancouver during the summer of 2022 to meet with various United Front groups, to go to the Water Splashing Festival at Swan Guard, to go to a banquet with the Canadian Community Service Association, and also officials from the Vancouver Consul General. What Justin Trudeau's response was there was to do an old CCP trick, which is play the race card. This isn't about race. This is about a government, a foreign government influencing Canadian politics, What do you think about when Justin Trudeau used that line, that used that that method against Canadians to try to shut down debate?
Again, that's just one of the many tactics that we've been talking about of stalling the debate, trying to blur the focus of the discussion. I personally think that the Prime Minister hasn't been fair to Mr. Dong himself too by just focusing on the quote-unquote Chinese-ness of his own MP in Don Valley North, because we are not talking about the ethnic background or any color of the skin of this MP. We are talking about whether his behavior is appropriate, is legitimate, and also is within bounds of anything that an MP should normally do. We are having discussion of that. But if you just concentrate on the color of the skin of Mr. Dong, it's not doing him justice, because it just blurred the discussion. People will just kind of think, oh, that's how the Chinese would do things. Or if they tend to generalize and say that's the Chinese culture, that's the last thing that we want, because that's a racist remark. I can tell you certainly, no, that's not the Chinese culture. And no, that's not what the Chinese community would do things when elected. Those are things that we are talking about. Any alleged individuals having involved in those kind of inappropriate or compromised behaviors when dealing with foreign agents or foreign powers, we should look into it as if looking at to the Prime Minister himself as an MP, your MP, my MP, we look at everyone using the same lens. We ask the same legitimate questions about whether their behavior are appropriate or not. So that's why that goes into the other thing, is using this kind of a racist card, pulling out the racist card every time when anyone with ethnic background or minority background are involved, is not going to help that particular community at all. In this case, if we don't get to the bottom of it to see whether Mr. Dong and his team have done anything wrong, then the whole suspicion, the whole shadow of doubt will be shrouded upon the entire Chinese community. And I don't think it's fair, because we need to know whether is there really any culprits from within the Chinese Canadian community, any culprits within the Liberal Party, within the Prime Minister and his team. Then we should really take them out, identify them, and kick them out too, and then tell them that this is not something that Canadians would condone. This is not something that we want to see out of our elected officials. And that's the correct message for everyone. And that also cleared the name of the entire Chinese community as well. And also, if they come clean, if they say, we really got nothing to hide, everything that we do or have done are really totally appropriate, then show us, tell us, educate us. If there's anything that we don't know, maybe this is what CSIS say, that logically is not something that is appropriate. But if you said so, come out to the open, discuss with us, let us know what is appropriate and what is not. I think it would do justice to the entire Chinese Canadian community, also do justice to Mr. Dong and his team and the Prime Minister and the Liberal Party as well.
One other element of Justin Trudeau's defense for his stance has been to go after the messenger, basically, to try to find out who leaked what, get the RCMP involved to investigate, almost like a witch hunt.
Exactly, exactly. And also, it's the last thing that you want to do at this moment when we say that we need to get to the bottom of all these kind of issues and allegations. I'm not saying that you should not go after the leak or the whistleblowers, but the thing is that why you make such a swift and determined decision to go after the whistleblowers, whereas you are dragging your feet, you're stalling all these, using all these stalling tactics of foreign registry, foreign influence registry, then you put into consultation or whatever kind of thing. Why don't you put into consultation and ask Canadians, how do we strike the balance between leaking so-called intelligence or sensitive information, and also protecting the identity or protecting the rights of the whistleblowers. I tell you honestly, from within the Chinese Canadian community, it's just because of this lack of protection of whistleblowers or trying to report cases that we've seen, with experience, we've heard about in the local community level, that people are really reluctant to come out and to report cases as such. And that's why the intelligence gathering had got problem, because they don't really have strong enough evidence to go into prosecution. So that's why it's really something that we should strengthen, we should look into, instead of using the existing tools to go after those people who try to help you to improve our tools, to improve our institutions and improve our democracy. I just think that there is very strong iron will to go after the people because they leak the information, which goes into the direction that the government doesn't want. But whereas they are really vulnerable to open up our government, open up our democracy to foreign infiltration, to foreign interference, because they don't want to deal with it. And that's the part that I'm most worried about.
So we're at a very delicate time in geopolitics, looking at what's happened here with the foreign influence, foreign infiltration, foreign surveillance of the diaspora, and then globally coming out of Beijing, how the Chinese government in Xi Jinping's third term is positioning itself.
Yes, exactly. Because all these things, when you put together, it naturally would create a shadow in our minds as to actually, you know, what is still there that we don't know? What are the other factors that have been influencing our government's decision of taking steps like this, or whether or not to take any steps at all? Like this morning when I was reading about the announcement that the Prime Minister has made, and also about the RCMP witch hunt operation, a particular case of Cameron Otis came to mind, because this guy, he is the head of the intelligence center of the RCMP. He's the highest level civilian who got to access the most secretive information that the RCMP has gathered. But he was arrested for passing information, such sensitive and top secret information, to foreign powers. Of course, everyone knows that would very likely be the Chinese Communist Party. But then after three years in prison detention, he was freed on bail. Then you would kind of wonder, with such very serious allegations or charge that Mr. Otis was under, and he has been detained for 3 years, which has been quite exceptional in our case, no matter how serious the offenders are, in even for criminal cases. And then he is now released on bail. What has been stalling the trial? What problem are they putting on? What obstacles are they experiencing? Why not try? At least, why not a word about the case and why he was released on bail and those kind of situations that really put you in very much doubt as to, you just can't piece everything together. Like, we have on the one hand, the RCMP going after witch hunt and things like that, swiftly with such determination and decisive operation. On the other hand, they are also, you see, seemingly dragging their feet on Mr. Otis' case. So what went wrong? What's wrong? So all these are the questions in Canadians' mind. As I say, if we don't deal with it accurately in the right direction and also in an efficient manner, the last thing you want is that we will have people so-called using the Trump card, then no matter what result we will have in the upcoming election, people will question, not just as what we are doing right now, question the process, question whether our process had been compromised, but also question the result as well, which won't be good. to any government of that term. That means no matter which party got elected, it won't be good. And then our faith and our confidence in our democracy will be undermined. That's the last thing you want.
That was my guest, Fenella Sung of the Canadian Friends of Hong Kong.
Thank you very much for having me, Bob.
What do you think? Email bob@thebreaker.news. Now it's time on the Breaker.news podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In the Taiwan news, missing Taiwanese soldier may have swum to China. Defense minister said he cannot completely rule out soldier swam to China. Kinmen Defense Command on Thursday announced the 26-year-old soldier surnamed Chen from the Liu Garrison Battalion had not reported for duty at an Erdan Island base. A search conducted across the entire island has yet to locate Chen. The defense minister said that although the temperature of the water is low, it cannot be completely ruled out that he swam. Erdan Island is 4.4 kilometers from China's Xiamen Island. In Kyoto news, Japan marks 12 years since quake tsunami that led to Fukushima crisis. Recovery from the magnitude 9.0 earthquake and resultant tsunami that devastated the region has progressed in the ensuing years, but some 31,000 people remain displaced as of November 2022. Cleanup plans at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear complex are also stoking controversy. The latest figures from the National Police Agency released Thursday put the death toll from the disaster at 15,900 people, while 2,523 people are still missing, the first time in 12 years that the numbers have not risen. In Hong Kong Free Press, Coconuts winds down Hong Kong news site after a decade, citing journalistic and commercial challenges. The local media landscape continues to shrink amid declining press freedom under the Beijing-enacted security law. With journalists behind bars and newsrooms raided, the city has plummeted down the Reporters Without Borders International Press Freedom Ranking, diving 68 places to 148th last year. Stand News, Citizen News, Apple Daily, and FactWire are also among the outlets which have disappeared since 2021. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.news podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.news podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest. In the Oregonian, Portland's oldest Irish bar will attempt again to make the world's largest Irish coffee. Paddy's Bar and Grill will attempt to claim a Guinness World Record by brewing a massive 264-gallon Irish coffee during its 14th annual St. Patrick's Day Festival. It will take about 165 gallons of coffee, 50 gallons of whiskey, 25 gallons of simple syrup, and 25 gallons of heavy whipped cream. The current official Guinness record now stands at 888 liters, so Paddy's is going for a nice round number, 1,000 liters. In Cairo News, how Nintendo's Mario got his name from the company's Tukwila landlord. March 10th, or Mar-I-O, Mar-1-O, is known to gamers as Mario Day, and the famous plumber actually has a connection to the Seattle area. Nintendo confirms that the original Mario was a real estate developer from Tukwila, Washington, who rented a warehouse to the company in the 1980s. He just so happened to stop by to collect rent the same day employees were brainstorming character names. In the Times Colonist, BC drops COVID vaccine requirement for government workers. BC is dropping its COVID vaccine requirement for public service workers as of April 3rd, although it will remain for people working in healthcare facilities. A total of 314 employees were terminated for non-compliance, while another 236 are on unpaid leave or have, or are seeking, an approved accommodation. Those on administrative leave due to non-compliance will be allowed to return, according to the province. That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.news podcast. It don't matter what color you are, 'cause love will conquer hate. brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting. Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to Sport BC for celebrating the best athletes in British Columbia for the 55th time. Awards like Best of BC to soccer's Christine Sinclair, the Harry Jerome Comeback Award to tennis's Rebecca Marino, the Daryl Thompson Lifetime Achievement Award to triathlon's Christine Chambers, and much, much more. Go to sportbc.com for the full list from the March 9th awards ceremony. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of March 12th, 2023. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on the 12th of March in 1989, Tim Berners-Lee proposed to the European Organization for Nuclear Research an information management system that later developed into the World Wide Web? Now you know. Send me your feedback and story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit TheBreaker.News on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. That's patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. Until next week.